you sense that? It's just the people in the front row who felt it. That's where the anointing is. Well, hello. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be back with you. As Monique mentioned just before, you know, I had great fun yesterday with the strengthening couples course that we did. And I'm looking forward, in a couple of days' time, I'm going to be back here running a three-day course on Renew Your Mind. So I get to see more of you, you get to see more of me. This will be fun. And I understand that over the past few weeks, that you guys have been looking at a very specific theme about hearing from God and how God speaks. Is that right? Great. The front row remember this. The back row, I don't know, are you guys awake? Is there coffee over in your area? But in this, you've been hearing about how God speaks in different ways that God communicates with you. And in many ways, today, what I'd like to do is to add to that, but to do it by taking a bit of a detour in some area that's still connected to hearing from God. It's just that it's about being in His presence that we heard today. That when we're in His presence, of course, we can hear God more clearly. But what does that look like? And you see, to warm us up into this topic, to get us thinking about this, I want to start by asking you a question. I mean, I want you to think for yourself. What would you say have been some of the most unexpected places that you have experienced God's presence? You know, if you reflect into your life and all that's gone on, where would you say have been some of the most unexpected places that you've experienced God's presence? Now, this is not a rhetorical question. I'm actually interested to hear from you. So I want to throw it open to you. What would you say? What have been some of the most unexpected places you personally have experienced God's presence? In the car? Yep, great. Someone else? In other places of worship? Okay, yeah. Someone else? In the middle of London, who would have thought it, eh? Someone else? When I felt vulnerable in a place I didn't want to be. Wonderful. Yeah, someone else?
In random people.
Not normal people, random people. In Promise Keepers? Yeah, I mean, we would never think God would turn up there. Anyone else? On the loo, that's right. Some good conversations with God on the toilet.
In a thunderstorm.
Yeah. Mowing the lawn? In the emergency room. Wow. Yeah. You know, there are wonderful, unexpected places that we can experience God's presence. And like you, I've also had a number of wonderful, unexpected places where I've experienced God's presence. In fact, so many so that it shouldn't be unexpected anymore. But for some reason, it still is. You know, I remember one time when I was leading a church, we had a group of people, and we were helping a family that were a part of a state house move out of their state house into a new state house, a bigger state house. You see, they were a mum, dad, they had four kids and grandma, they were living in a small confined space, they were busting out at the seams, and so another place had been found for them, which was wonderful. So there was a group of us, and our job was to help clean up their place in order that they could hand it back and that they could leave. And so we had people come in, and we had some people were inside getting marks off the wall, washing down surfaces, that kind of thing. Now my job, or at least one of my jobs, was to clean out the shed that was right beside the house. And as I went out to the shed and I opened up the door, there in this shed were bags and bags filled to overflowing of old used pooey nappies. And you see, this family, where we lived, you were given only so many rubbish bags per week. That was your allocation. And so if you used more than that, you actually had to buy them. And of course, this family was financially struggling. They didn't feel like they could afford to do that. And the hope was in their mind that on the weeks when we don't have so much rubbish to put out, we can just put in a little bit extra and then hopefully it will all go away. But of course,
there never was such a time. And so the bags piled up in this little shed. And you know, with those disposable nappies, you know how they have the sort of sticky tabs to hold the nappies in place? Well, of course, these nappies were slightly open, so the sticky tabs had stuck them to the floor and to the sides of the wall. And so I was there with my shovel trying to sort of scrape them off and to get them out. And I remember thinking at that point, I've never felt so real. And with that, the presence of God met me in the shed. And together, we finished cleaning out the old used pooey nappies. Now, in one sense, that shouldn't have been unexpected. Because Jesus has said, when you do this for the least of mine, you're doing it for me. And so he joined me in that shed. I remember also there was another time when I was much younger and I was racing off to a lecture at Laidlaw. And I was so stressed out at the time. I was so wound up, I was ready to burst. I mean, I was newly married. But in this, there were other pressures in my life, and I had different assignments due, different tensions that were on me, and I was just wound up like a coil ready to burst. And you see, for me, I have sort of different stages of expression of stress, that if I've got a sort of mild to moderate expression, well, then I clench my jaw. But if I'm going sort of moderate to more extreme, I clench my jaw and my shoulders come up around my ears. And I remember racing off to this lecture, and I was clutching the steering wheel, my jaw was tensed, my shoulders were up around my ears. I was just sort of about to pop, and I remember the exact place that as I came through the lights, the presence of God filled my white Mazda 323 familiar. And there was a physical, tangible sense of him putting his arm around me. And though no words were heard at that point, there was a sense that I got from him, of him just saying, it's okay. And with that, all the tension and the stress just drained through my body, out my toes. And I was left there in peace, calm, relaxed in his presence. And you see, it's at moments like that that I get a taste of what I see other people have experienced, people in the Bible, and what they've gone through with God. You remember the time in the Bible with Jacob. Jacob's out wandering about, and he ends up one night, and he's in a field, in a paddock, and so he goes to sleep, and he puts his head on a rock. And he has a dream, a vision of angels ascending and descending. And he wakes up from that time, and he says, surely God is here. I was just unaware of it. And for me, surely God was here in my Mazda 323 familiar. I was just unaware of it. You see, what we discover is that God is always present with us. It's just that we're not always present with him. Do you get that? And in one of our readings today, in Psalm 139, this beautiful psalm that has verses that talk about God hemming us in, behind and before us, and knitting us together in our mother's womb. This is what it says at verse 7, on to verse 10. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You see, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed down in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. You know, the God, it permeates this world. He is everywhere. There is no place he is not. And yet there are times when we just don't feel him. And so we can get a sense that God isn't with us, that somehow he's distant, he's removed himself, he's somewhere else. And so in that sense, that if I can't feel him and it means he's not here, then therefore I must need to do something to grab him, to get him back here. And at times, We can get ourselves, we can believe it even though we don't necessarily say it. Where we need to sort of pray ourselves into a certain state of being. We need to get ourselves worshipped up that we can somehow reach into the heavenlies, grab a hold of God and pull him down to be here with us. And then it's wonderful for that time. And then we leave that evening and it's like he boing, bungee jumps back up to heaven. You know, it's like he retracts like a roller blind. And we just have to wait for the next time when we can somehow pull him down. But of course, what the Bible tells us is that God is always present here. He is everywhere. You know, in Habakkuk 2:14, one of the things it says there is that as Habakkuk is speaking, he says, you know, when everything comes to a climax, when everything's going to be wound up, he says, at that point, the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. They made a hymn out of this. Does anyone remember the hymn, As the Waters Cover the Sea? It's just a couple of us. I mean, I remember singing this in high school. But you see, isn't it interesting what the psalmist doesn't say? He doesn't say that come that time, that the world will then be filled with the glory of God. What he says is, at that point, the world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. You see, the sense is that God's glory is on this planet. It is throughout this planet. It's just that we don't often have a full revelation of that, a full knowledge, a full seeing of that. At times we catch glimpses of it. At times it's very powerful, and at other times we see but only dimly. But there will come a time where there will be a full revelation for everyone about the glory that is already here. And so if that's the case, if God's presence is with us, all around us, we cannot in one sense escape it, then how do we be in God's presence? That seems like a good question, doesn't it? And you see, the truth is that, in fact, there are many ways that we enable ourselves to be in his presence. But today, I really just want to speak about one. To speak about one way that we can be more in his presence, more aware of his presence. I want to speak about this one way that for many people will be unexpected. Are you interested to know what it is? Take it or leave it. And you see, it's simply this, that one of the ways that we are in his presence, that we become more aware of his presence, is as we step into honesty. You see, the Bible says of our God that he is light, and in him there is no darkness. In God there is no darkness, there's no pretense, there's no faking, there's no denial, there's no avoidance. He is light. And in him there is no darkness. You see, to be fully in God's presence is in fact the most honest place to be. And also, as we get into being fully honest, what we discover is that our God is there waiting for us, meeting us. I'll take you to another passage, this time in the New Testament, in John chapter 3. And this passage occurs just after we've had perhaps the most famous line from Jesus, one that's purported around the world. You know this one, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that... We sort of get the general gist, isn't it? Yeah. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And then later down, just in a few verses below that, we read this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And so we read there that Jesus has come into this world as light. He is light. And he's come into this world to reveal himself. But for some reason, people are running away from him. For some reason, they're preferring their darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but standing here 2,000 years after that event, I can be here rather smugly. You know, when you read a passage like that, I can think, you know, with what we know of who Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Savior, he is God incarnate, he is love divine. Why on earth would they want to run from him? I mean, Jesus is perfection. What are they thinking of? Why would they want to do that? You know, I know that if it was me, I wouldn't do that. I'd want to run to Jesus. I'd want to be with Jesus. Who wouldn't want to be with Jesus? I mean, he's perfect. He's love. He's mercy. He's forgiveness. But then when you think about it, with what we read in that passage, what it says is to that get close to him is to step into light. And which means that if you imagine the floodlight of God pervading every part of who you are, exposing every part of who you are, nothing is hidden, everything is revealed. Well, now you sort of get a sense as to why it might be uncomfortable to be in the presence of God, to be in his light. You see, I want you to think for yourself. Where in your life would you not want God to put a floodlight on? What would you not want God to start to reveal in your life, from your past, in your present, with what's going on? What is there that you know in your life you wouldn't want to offer up to him, for him to see, to be revealed before him? You see, who of us would want God to pour his spotlight, his white hot spotlight, onto our comfort eating, onto the bitterness that perhaps we're harboring towards someone, the unforgiveness we're still carrying? Who of us wants God to reveal and to pour his light upon the deep regret that we're still carrying, or the disappointment that's lingering with us? Who of us wants God to pour his spotlight on the pornography that we've been looking at? Or how we've been talking about people behind their back? Who wants God to pour his light onto the fact that we don't actually like ourselves? In fact, we hate who we are. Or perhaps we hate our body. I mean, who wants any of that? And see, when we start to get a sense of that, now we start to understand why some people might prefer their darkness. Some people might want to hide themselves away. Because you see, this isn't about sin. Jesus has taken care of sin. He's taken care of all that so that if there was any sin that could now separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, well, then the sacrifice of Jesus would be insufficient. But it's not. It has taken care of it all. This isn't an issue of sin. This is an issue of having to get honest. And you see, even though we know that, you know, Jesus is mercy, he's forgiveness, he's love, that to enter into his presence, into his light, and to have what's in me exposed, well, now I've got to face that. I've got to see that. And that's not something I really want to look at. That's not something that I want to focus on. That hurts. And so I'd much prefer to hide that away. So it isn't about my sin per se. It's about how I might be scared of being honest. But you see, God will meet us wherever we are when we come to him in honesty. However messed up we feel, however broken, however hurt, however shame-filled, whatever it may be, he will meet us there with his love when we come to him in honesty. But sometimes we want to grab hold of counterfeits because it just feels safer. But as we grab a hold of these counterfeits, they prevent us from being honest. And they prevent us from being in his presence. And it's not that God's left. It's not that he's gone anywhere. It's just that we've chosen to hide. In one sense, unwittingly at times, what we've done is we've actually anathematized ourselves to his presence, even though his presence is always with us. You know, and sometimes we anathematize ourselves unwittingly. We want to avoid the place of honesty because there are feelings there we just don't want to face. I remember when I was pastoring, we had at one point a situation where people sort of came into our church. They bled into our church out of another church. And so I spoke with the pastor and we were working things out about what was going on. And I was working with the different people, helping them to sort of heal their hurts. And with one woman, I remember at one point, I said, "So how are you going in your journey? How are you going with healing from those wounds?" And she said, "Oh, really good. You know, I'm actually feeling a whole lot better." And I'm thinking, well, this is great. This is going really well. She says, "Yes, I just try not to think about them anymore." I went, "Oh, so we're going with denial. That's going to go well, isn't it?" But sometimes denial can help to anathematize us to a feeling we don't want to feel. At other times, we will avoid God's presence unwittingly because we're not in the feeling that we don't want to feel. We're actually reaching for a second emotion we don't want to feel, an emotion like anger or anxiety. And at times, we're happy to be very honest about those emotions. But again, they're hiding us from what's really going on. You know, at times I'll have people in front of me in the counseling room where they're obviously very angry. She's angry over what he's failed to do. He's angry over what she hasn't done or someone else hasn't done or what the boss hasn't done. And depending on the person, sometimes I'll say this to them. I'll say, "Do you realize you are not actually angry?" And they'll look at me with that look that clients get in their eye from time to time, which is basically saying, "Are you nuts? Are you insane? Of course I'm angry. I mean, how obvious is this? What kind of counselor do you call yourself?" And I'll say to them, "You're not actually angry. You're hurt." And when they connect to that truth, there's a sense that their anger just deflates away and they start to connect far more honestly with what's going on. I remember when I was working as a church developer a number of years ago. It was just me starting out into ministry. I was green as green could be. And I remember hearing at one point that someone in the church had written a letter of complaint about me to the leadership and to the national body, talking about how I wasn't doing things right, how I was getting it all wrong, that sort of thing. And I remember at that point, as I heard about this, internally I was trying to work out what my response to this was. You see, I knew I was hurt. I knew there was a sense of rejection, a sense of inadequacy, a sense of failure that was there. There was also a profound sense of being misjudged. And it was at that point I heard Jesus say to me, "You're in good company." You know, and as I was trying to work out what my response would be, usually my response would be an anxious one. Anxiety was a go-to emotion for me. I knew anxiety. And out of my anxiety, what I would often do, or would probably have done in this situation, is to contact the leadership, to try to talk with them, to try to gain some reassurance from them that I'm still doing a good job. Or I might reach out to talk to a friend, to try to speak to them, to gain from them some reassurance that actually I was still a good person. But in hearing Jesus say, "You're in good company," this time I did nothing, but I stayed in the emotion that I was experiencing, the raw emotion. And Jesus met me there in a very powerful and profound way. His peace, his comfort, and his reassurance was there as I was facing what was going on. And you see, in one sense, that shouldn't have been unexpected. Because the Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus is a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Jesus gets raw emotion. And when we're in raw emotion, it is an honest place to be. And it's a place that he will meet us there if we'll let him. It's an honest place to be, and with his presence there, it's also a sacred place to be. And our raw emotion is an honest and it's a sacred place to be. You see, my friends, if we want to be in his presence, sometimes it involves getting honest, allowing God to examine every part of what's going on inside of us, allowing him to face and help us face the things that we've had in denial, we've been avoiding, we've been running from, to allow him to just lift that up and be willing to have it exposed in his presence, that we might be closer with him. Are you with me? And you see, right here in this place, God is here. His Spirit is here. His presence is here. His glory is here. And it's here quite powerfully. And so one of the things that I'm going to invite us to do is to, in many ways, continue to step into that presence more and more. We've, in one sense, we've warmed ourselves up to an awareness of his presence as we've been focusing on prayer and on worship. We're becoming aware of him. And then really all I want to encourage us to do is to become more aware of him. That as you're saying there, it might just be that you want to just invite him to come and examine each part of who you are. There might not necessarily be anything that you're necessarily conscious of, but you just say, Lord, I want to be honest with you, so I'm going to step into honesty. Come, Holy Spirit, examine me, reveal in me whatever's here. For some of you, it might be that there needs to be an act in this. That as an act, you want to say, Lord, I want to step into your presence, step into honesty. And so I'm going to encourage you to actually get up out of your seat, move somewhere in the aisle. You can come up the front here, stand or kneel or do whatever. If you want to receive prayer, if you want to say, you know, I just want someone to gather around me and lay hands on me, would you come to this side so that we know that this is the side that people actually want prayer for? But let's do that. Let's move more into honesty, more into his presence. No hiding, no faking. Because God's presence is here. It's just that he is light, and in him there is no darkness. So let's step into light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are with us and that you're always with us and that your love is present here and your truth is present here and your power is present here. So, Lord, in this place, we want to get closer to you, Lord, and we invite you, come, examine us, explore us, expose us in your love, the safest place to be. So, Lord, help us to reveal what's going on. And Lord, help us to offer to you an honest response. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So my friends, you may just want to sit where you are, but also I'd encourage you to move into the side or come up the front and be in his presence, to step into honesty. If you need to go get your kids, feel free to do that now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's the Lord for a benediction this morning. And Psalm 139 was one of your passages that you had us consider this morning. And I felt God take me to the end of Psalm 139. I thought, well, God, that's not a benediction. That's just weird. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's how God wants to end with us today. So let's just spend some time allowing God to examine us. I'd like to invite the music team to come and join Ben. And we're just going to sing perhaps the second song of the second set, first song of the second set. Thanks. And I invite you, come on up the front. God is here. He's there too. But if you'd like to go pray with you, we'll be super privileged to be there.